Let us pray, remaining standing. Father, in that great prayer that you taught us to pray, it opens with, "Thy kingdom come." What does that mean, and how does it relate to baptism, spiritual growth, and us to today? Will you speak now through your word in this time? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. How apropos that we begin today with a baptism. And we see little young Emily. For those of you who've been with us, we've been in a spiritual growth campaign. We've been looking at what it means to grow spiritually. In the first week, we said, everybody starts as a spiritual infant. Whether you come to know Christ as a young child or you're 65 and you come to know Christ and you put your trust in Him, everybody starts. And infants have lots of needs and the need for grace and love. And this is when God usually comes in with more power to kind of give us hope along the way. But we move from spiritual infancy into spiritual adolescence. We become self-sustaining. We know where to go. We know how to feed ourselves spiritually. We know how to read the Bible. We become more independent. We get weaned off experience, and we move into faith. And then finally, we talked about spiritual adulthood. From self-absorbing as a baby, self-sustaining as an adolescent, to self-giving and self-surrender. And the idea of, God, as I'm growing and maturing, I realize there's more joy in serving and giving than there is just having my immediate needs met. And this is kind of overall the spiritual growth process of Christians. That's a very short summation. We talked last week on Pentecost, though, the power and ingredients that make any of that happen is not self-effort. Is not saying, I'm going to become an adolescent. Can you imagine Emily? If we all talked to her like religion would say, come on, Emily, grow. It's unacceptable to cry out in a meeting. It's unacceptable to, you know, wear diapers or whatnot. You'd never say that to a child. Parents would come in with power to slowly and surely help her grow. I use the example of we or a computer. If you have a computer, it looks like a computer, it has all the characteristics of a computer, but until you plug it in, it will never function as a computer or a we. Same with being a Christian. Unless you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can look like a Christian, you can sing hymns, you can have water dabbed on your head as an outward sign, but unless the Holy Spirit's in, you'll never have the joy and peace and the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. And so many Christians bypass that step and try and be religious on their own power, and it would be like trying to use your computer with no power. There's no joy, it kind of is no big deal. And so we talk about spiritual growth happens in stages, but it also happens when the Holy Spirit comes in when we receive Christ, the Spirit of Christ. Now, today, very briefly, and I've modified it, which is why I'm standing down here, because if I followed my notes, you'd get the 26-minute sermon, but I don't want to do that to you because it's a baptism. Very briefly, there's another invitation that God gives Christians all along the way, wherever they are in their spiritual growth. And here's what it is. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? What is God doing? Our Mark reading said that Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and then he started doing lots of things, driving out demons, healing the sick, reconciling relationships, confronting poor leadership in the church, so to speak. Wait a minute. Was Jesus ushering in a new kingdom on earth where things were made right? Where people loved each other and served each other? Was he modeling a kind of leadership finally that ended up on the cross that says, if you're great, I want you to serve others? Look at me, that's what I'm going to do, and put their best interests at heart? Could the kingdom of God in heaven be in-breaking when Jesus is present on earth? Remember what he says? It starts with the kingdom of God inside of you. When Jesus breaks into a life and sets up his rule and authority, the kingdom characteristics begin to happen. When Jesus breaks into, and he used all these parables, into relationships, and relationships begin to model relationships in heaven where everybody's trying to outlove and serve each other. When Jesus breaks into school or work or your daily life and the characteristics of Jesus are more and more the aroma around you, are you serious? You mean the kingdom can break in? This is exactly what Jesus meant. We're not going to be in the perfect kingdom until we die and go to heaven, the new earth and the new, have new bodies and live in the new earth and the new heaven. However, he says, look, I'm going to start establishing outposts of the kingdom here on earth, beginning with your lives, and then as I send you out in the world. How does this work? How does this work? The most exciting thing about life is joining God in His purpose. Joining God in what He's doing. Why is this exciting? What's the definition of sin? When people think of sin, what do they think about? What's the first thing that comes to mind about your sin? Rhetorical question. No one confessed yet here publicly. It's the things you did wrong. You yelled at your spouse. You're not doing this. Maybe you ran a red light, or maybe you did something really serious that you'd never want anybody here to know. Even maybe it was last night. You think of your sins. That's not the biblical concept of sin. The biblical concept of sin is, I am going to build my own kingdom. And I'm going to be the master of my universe, and I'm going to set up values and set up structures that say this is my kingdom. I may use some from the Hebrew scriptures, from other religions, from my political aspirations. I might set up my whole world, but this is going to be my kingdom. And I'm going to be sovereign in it, and don't you dare, whether you're a priest or my mom and dad or anybody, tell me what I can or can't do. Now, when we're kids, we have to tell them, but we know we grow up and say, this is it. So sin is basically, I'm going to establish my own kingdom, and then we have our own rules and regulations, and then we do things wrong that violate even our own codes. When Jesus breaks into a life, many of us say, oh my goodness, I want forgiveness. I know I'm not right. I trust, I believe Jesus actually walked the earth. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. Jesus, will you forgive me? And we do that from our own kingdom. And who wouldn't want forgiveness, right, when we mess up? He's so gracious, He comes in and forgives us. However, this spiritual growth component is now saying, I don't want you to live in your own kingdom. I want you to enter my kingdom. So here's how it works. At first we say, okay, when we're in need, God, break into my little kingdom and give me what I want. My kids have a need, my parents, whatever it is, financial needs. So we grab outside of our kingdom and we say, God, come in just so I can keep being the center of my life and live the life I've always wanted. Of course, the Bible's very clear. The life you've always wanted will never measure up to the life that you really need and are created for. And at some point, Jesus says, will you pray, thy kingdom come? Not my kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And this is where a huge shift in the Christian life happens. When we say, I'm going to step out of my kingdom and I'm going to trust the King and say, I actually want to be about your kingdom and to live in your kingdom and not just have you enter mine when I'm in need or when I feel like it or on a Sunday morning. I want to walk and have you develop your kingdom in me, your kingdom characteristics in me, and then share that kingdom everywhere I go. And this is what God is offering His people, joining Him in His work, not asking Him to join us in our work. And if you're a Christian and you've been following Christ and you're stagnant and you're not sure what God's doing in your life, would you maybe pray the prayer, God, help me to join you in the building of your kingdom, in the establishing of your kingdom in my life and wherever world you've put me. Let me give you a couple examples. When you meet Christ, God accepts you on whatever terms you come to Him. And as you know, in my case, those were pretty low terms because I was not a nice guy. And now God had a guy running around saying he was a Christian who was not a nice guy. So for me to say, my kingdom come, or excuse me, God, your kingdom come, was will you come in and form kingdom characteristics? Will you set up your rule in my life and give me the self-control and give me the patience and a new love for people I don't like or don't look like me? And God said, surely I'll do that. God setting up His rule in our life brings kingdom heaven characteristics into our own personal life. But it also brings it into our daily lives. Let's say you work in an office where people are backstabbing each other, where people are out to win, you never know, and there's a really toxic environment in your workplace. Being a Christian does not mean coming to that place and saying, you all are wrong and jerks for your sin. I have the truth and you better turn to Jesus and get right. I would not recommend that model. That was not the incarnational model Jesus used. What did Jesus do? He came and lived among us. He got to know us. He modeled patience and love even when it wasn't there. So we go into a workplace like that and we say, God, may your kingdom come into my workplace even if they don't believe in you. And they watch you and see how you don't play office politics. You don't backstab. When you're wronged, you don't gossip about it. And all of a sudden, God's kingdom is coming in a place where it's never been before. And there may be then an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus and how he changes lives. Students, you want to resist temptation when you're in high school. You want to kind of, you know, overcome. You want to experience God powerfully. There's a sense of, God, would you come into my school? Help me to live gospel characteristics in my school with my friends on Friday nights at parties. Many of you know telling the story about how my friends and I, after we met Christ, went to parties, chugged Sprites just to make a statement, and just tried to love all of our friends who were getting hammered and hooking up. And a fellowship started in our school that kind of transformed our school while we were there through a bunch of us just trying to say, God, your kingdom come in our school. Not by us beating people over the head with Jesus, just trying to say, God, may your power and grace permeate our environment. Friends, this is how the world changes. This is how marriages change. Maybe you're in a tough marriage. God, may your kingdom come. Show me how to establish a marriage, even if my spouse doesn't want it. Give me the characteristics of the kingdom that our home might be a haven of your grace and power. Family members, setting up little kingdoms, establishing God's power, asking for his Holy Spirit in your families with your children, that they'd experience the power of God. Let me close with this. So many believers never make this jump. When you're in your own kingdom, God still loves you. We're spiritual infants. We need it. He pours out his grace. But this invitation to pray, your kingdom come, is an invitation to participate in what God's doing in the world, which is breaking in all over the place. A couple of weeks we talked about how God's working the other side of the street always. Remember that sermon? How do you know God's not working in that annoying coworker? Or in the child, your child that's actually looking rebellious and rebelling against you? You don't know what God's doing the other side of the street. And when you pray, your kingdom come, God, you're saying, give me eyes to see where you're working. Help me to then join you, because God might tap you and say, by the way, I have a kingdom assignment for you. And that's when our Christian life takes off. Not just when we absorb and receive, although when we're young it needs it, but when we say, God, we want to join you in the building of your kingdom. So my prayer is this, that more and more of us in our church and more people who come to visit and see what this church is about would be people who are not religious, self-righteous, arrogant, but who pray honestly every Sunday and then every day, God, may your kingdom come. Would you establish it in my business, in my marriage, in my family, in my kids? And would we have outposts of your authority and rule, of your peace and healing all over our lives, all over Baltimore? That's how God wants to transform us and our city, and what an amazing privilege to be a part of. Let's commit to praying to the Lord. Lord, your kingdom come, and let us be a part of it. Sound good? In Jesus' name.